Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tuesday, October 21st. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. On November 4th, Californians will decide whether to approve temporarily redrawn congressional maps. In one San Joaquin Valley district, farmers are worried about what it means for their representation in Washington.
We want our congressmen and our senators to promote agriculture in Central California. We need someone that understands it that doesn't have to have it explained to them.
Coming up later in the show, we go to a Republican House district in the Valley to hear directly from voters. But first, these headlines. Madera County leaders are recognizing two farm workers today for helping save kids from a school bus that caught on fire. The two men were repairing a tractor in Madera County last month when they saw the smoking bus. They alerted the driver and later helped evacuate all of the children to safety. The back of the bus burst into flames shortly after. A major industry group has started laying the ground for a so-called carbon capture project in Kern County. The technology is seen as a way for the state to clean the atmosphere of greenhouse gases produced by carbon emissions. Francisco Leon is the president and CEO of California Resources Corporation. That's the company leading the project. He told TV station KERO there are also economic benefits to the technology.
Cement, power producers that have emissions into the air, CRC will come, install carbon capture facilities to take the CO2, inject it safely downhole, and then that allows those companies to thrive and stay in business, preserving jobs in the state, making sure the jobs stay in Kern County and they don't get exported to other countries.
The county awarded the permit for this carbon capture project during a community meeting last year. Some residents in Kern County worry, though, about potential risks with the untested technology. Millions of Indians around the world are celebrating the Diwali holiday this week. The five-day festival is a major holiday in India, but for Hindus around the world in particular. California officially designated the occasion as a state holiday starting next year. Associated Press correspondent Deepa Bharath explains more on the significance.
We are here at the BAPS Sri Swaminarayan Temple in Chino Hills, California, where preparations are underway for Diwali this year. Diwali or Deepavali is one of the most important festivals for Hindus. It is celebrated by millions in India and around the world in the diaspora. And it's also celebrated across faiths by Sikhs, Buddhists, and Jains. Deepavali means a row of lights. So what celebrants do during Diwali is they light oil lamps, they set off fireworks, they gather for meals, for a feast. Based on the lunar calendar, Diwali typically falls in late October or early November. It symbolizes the victory of good over evil, light over darkness, and knowledge over ignorance.
That was AP correspondent Deepa Bharath reporting. California is pumping millions of dollars into apprenticeship programs to boost job training. The governor's office said it has approved $25 million in grants for programs through the so-called Employment Training Panel. The agency seeks to train some 22,000 people from marginalized groups in skilled trades. That includes women, veterans, and formerly homeless individuals.
Does your vroom vroom no longer zoom zoom? Don't let that broken down old car collect dust in the driveway. Why not donate it to KVPR? It's easy. We'll tow it away at no cost to you. You'll get a tax break, and the proceeds will help us bring you the vital reporting you rely on. Visit kvpr.org/cars today. That's kvpr.org/cars to learn more about vehicle donation.
And now to our main story. The ripple effects of President Trump's national gerrymandering battle are being felt in California's rich agricultural belt. On November 4th, voters in the state will decide whether to support Proposition 50. That's the effort by Governor Gavin Newsom to temporarily redraw congressional maps to favor Democrats. It's a counter to the surprise redistricting effort that emerged earlier this year in Texas and other red states. If Prop 50 passes, Valley Congressman David Valadao would be one of five Republicans on the chopping block in California. And that has farmers in his district worried. KVPR's Carrie Klein tells us why.
Charles Meyer grows a cornucopia of crops on his 1,500 acres in Stratford in Kings County.
We're growing wheat, we're growing alfalfa, we're growing almonds, we're growing pistachios.
But this third-generation farmer has a clear favorite. He plucks a white puffball off a short brown stalk.
This is Pima cotton. This is very high-quality fiber.
Kings County is one of three agricultural counties that make up District 22, represented by Republican Congressman David Valadao. Dairy farms, vineyards, and tidy rows of tomatoes bring in billions of dollars a year here and provide tens of thousands of jobs. It's a point of pride for Meyer.
Well, you become attached to the ground. It's like our boys in the military. They give their life for the country. We feel about our ground about like that.
Meyer wants elected leaders who feel that way, too. Like Valadao, who used to be a dairy farmer. He was first elected to Congress in 2012, but he's in danger of losing his seat. If voters approve Prop 50 next month, District 22 would stretch out, almost twice as long, in order to gain Democratic voters from neighboring counties and give Democrats a better shot at winning. And Meyer does not support that.
I don't want anything that would help Democrats gain power.
That's because California Democrats have pushed a slew of environmental regulations aimed at protecting air, water, and ecosystems. They also restrict things like groundwater and fertilizer use. Meyer calls that regulatory overreach, and he blames Democrats for rising farming costs and slumping profits.
When they gain power, negative things happen.
It's a common opinion. Signs reading "Vote No on Prop 50" line Kings County's highways, alongside banners to recall Democratic Governor Newsom. A few miles away, in Hanford, Doug Verboon doesn't like Prop 50 either. He's a farmer harvesting walnuts.
So that was a gondola unloading walnuts into an elevator, putting it into an 18-wheeler to take it to the walnut processing plant.
Verboon is also a county supervisor and a Republican. He and other supervisors have formally opposed partisan redistricting that would change district maps through the next three election cycles. They say it unfairly bypasses the Independent State Commission that draws district lines.
We do it every 10 years, and we have a process in place that works.
He says gerrymandering isn't just about who controls the House. He says Congress matters here. The feds pass laws that can influence exports, trade decisions, and water flows that determine farmer incomes.
We want our congressmen and our senators to promote agriculture in Central California. We need someone that understands it that doesn't have to have it explained to them.
But many Democrats, however, support the new map, like Carla Orozco. She's a retired science teacher holding up a sign in nearby Lemoore.
My sign says, yes, I'm Prop 50, temporary maps.
It's a bright Friday morning. Orozco is part of a, quote, bridge brigade that hangs signs on overpasses throughout Kings County. None of the dozen volunteers here today are farmers. They're angry that Valadao hasn't hosted an in-person town hall in more than a year, and that he voted to cut Medicaid, even though he said he wouldn't, and two-thirds of his constituents rely on it.
And that's going to wake a lot of people up when the health care premiums go up.
She hopes voters will come out and do the right thing in the election next month. There's just no clear consensus here on what the right thing is. For KVPR News, I'm Carrie Klein in Kings County.
And Carrie joins me in the studio now. Welcome, Carrie.
Thanks, Liz.
Okay, so firstly, I think redistricting is still very confusing to a lot of people. So can we just back up and have you briefly explain how we got in the situation of potentially redrawing congressional districts very suddenly here in California?
Yeah, okay. So this effort in California is in direct response to redistricting that the Texas legislature approved earlier this year. And that effort was really prompted by President Trump. The goal was to get five more Republican seats in the House of Representatives, the goal in Texas, that is. Mm-hmm. And so then Governor Gavin Newsom said, if you do that in Texas, we're going to do it too in California, except we'll aim to flip five Republican seats for Democrats. And David Valadao's seat is one of those five. And it's not the first time he's got a major challenge. Democrats have had their eye on this seat for many elections. It's been a huge fundraising target for both parties. And so California leaders hired an outside firm to draw up new congressional maps. They're supposedly temporary. These maps would only be in place for the next three general elections until 2030. And the special election next month is all about whether we support or reject this map. I should also note that California has an independent commission to redraw maps in a nonpartisan way. That's supposed to happen every 10 years, but this circumvents that effort.
Right. Okay. Now, many of the people you spoke to in your story are farmers who are opposed to redistricting. Is this sort of a common feeling in the agricultural community?
Yes, definitely. I think farmers in general in this area are relatively right-leaning. And for years, voices in ag have been some of the loudest against Governor Gavin Newsom and Democratic lawmakers. The California Farm Bureau itself has formally opposed Prop 50. In a statement earlier this fall, they said it would harm rural communities and weaken fair representation, specifically by dividing farmland and weakening the voting power of people who work on farms. You know, one reason they say that is that a lot of rural, you know, generally right-leaning areas would be moved into districts along with major metro areas that are more left-leaning. Opposition to Prop 50 is also really common within the Republican community in general, not just farmers. And if you drive in rural areas in these counties, a lot of vote no on Prop 50 signs that you might see along highways were paid for by David Tongipah. He's a local Republican assembly member.
Okay, I've seen some of those signs, even some homemade looking kind of vote no on Prop 50 mm-hmm. signs, more
plenty.
So than vote yes. But there are plenty of Democrats in the area too, of course. So can you tell us what the political breakdown is here and how that could change under California's proposed new maps?
So District 22 is made up of parts of three counties, Kern, Kings, and Tulare. All of those counties as a whole have more registered Republican voters than Democratic ones. And in all three counties, county supervisors have all passed resolutions to formally oppose Prop 50. However, the way the districts are currently drawn, District 22 actually has a small Democratic advantage, and it has for years, which is curious since Valadao has held on to his seat every election since 2012, except for one election in 2018. Under the newly proposed maps, however, District 22 would shed some red areas into Vince Fong's district next door, and it would gain Democratic areas from parts of Fresno County. And so Democrats are really expected to have a strong advantage in this new district if the map is approved by voters, you know, next month. And you heard Carla Orozco's voice, but I did interview many others in this Bridge Brigade who were volunteering with her. And I think what they say reflects what a lot of Democrats in this area are feeling. They're concerned about immigration raids and their effects on the food supply and also on breaking up families. They want the Epstein files released. Many of these folks also came out to the No Kings rally earlier this month. And they want representation in Congress that can better advocate for these things.
You did reach out to David Valadao for comment on your reporting, and he declined an interview, just as he's done for more than a year with KVPR. This seems to be sort of a pattern for him. He turns down requests from a lot of media outlets, though not all. How does his reluctance to speak publicly in this way sort of affect the constituents in his district?
Well, I'll tell you that it means that we don't get to hear his perspective on issues on our airwaves. Residents will raise questions, we will raise questions, and we don't get to hear his responses. He does publish press releases. He releases official statements, of course, but we don't get to talk through the nuances of these issues or have him directly address, you know, constituent-specific concerns. This particularly riles up Democrats, not surprisingly. Many, many are unhappy that he hasn't shown up in person for a town hall in his district since August 2024, and virtual town halls are few and far between as well. Valadao has a reputation for being a man of the people. He's a former dairy farmer himself. But notably, I have found people from both political parties who think Valadao is no longer as accessible or reachable by his constituents as they expect him to be.
KVPR Associate Editor Carrie Klein, thank you so much for your reporting on this.
Thank you.
And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Carrie Klein, Jonathan Linden, and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. You can find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.